We will remain standing this afternoon for the reading of God's Word. Our reading will come from the 15th chapter of the book to the Corinthians, the first book, beginning at verse 50. Hear now the Word of the Lord. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpets will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragements that we have through your Spirit. May he teach us the lessons we should learn this afternoon. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, some years ago, as we journeyed through Luke and Acts over many sermons, we paused after the account of Stephen being martyred when Luke told us that devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. So after some questions, I preached an additional message where I stressed that when we face death in our congregation or in our extended family or friends, we are to be devout people who come to bury the dead and to make proper lamentation. And I think it would be good to review again this subject of death to remind us about how important our Christian witness is in such times, both in how we weep with those who weep and how we celebrate the victory of Jesus over death. When considering the question of death, we must keep in mind the grand story of creation, which God has revealed to us in the Bible. It is the story of creation, fall, and redemption. The Bible is very clear that Adam's sin in the garden is what brought forth death and destruction for the human race and for all of creation. But God did not leave us in our sin and misery, but promised right there in the garden that a Savior would come to crush the head of Satan. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, entered history as a man to save his people from their sins. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin and set us free. Now, there's a question that some may ask at this point. Well, if Christ has conquered death, then why should we as Christians have a focus on burial and lamentation? And I want to argue that it is here where we must show the world both the reality of death and the victory over death, won by the death and resurrection of Jesus. It could be one of the most important parts of our Christian witness to a very needy world. Now, first, we must understand as Christians that death is with us until the very end. The Apostle Paul aptly pointed to this fact while explaining in 1 Corinthians 15, the importance of the power of the resurrection. He begins in verse 20 saying, but now Christ is risen from the dead. That's fundamental. and hath become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers up the kingdom of God to God, to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So again, we have a tension that must be held in our Christian lives and our Christian witness. We know that death has been defeated by the work of Jesus on the cross and in his resurrection. But death will also be the final enemy to be defeated after the kingdom of Jesus has filled the earth at the end of history. Now, we know that we have victory over death, and yet each one of us will face death in our own physical death, or the death of others, until Jesus returns. Now, the Bible gives us some very wise and comforting teachings about how we are to handle such deaths. We are to face the reality of death and not be afraid to lament the loss of those who suffer death. And as with most paths in our Christian walk, we have some ditches on either side that we should avoid when confronting death. On the one side is simply ignoring death or pretending it is not as serious a reality as it is. I was raised in a family that was certainly on that side of the ditch. I did not even see a dead person until I was 32 years old. That was my father. But all through the years, that had just kind of been, we don't talk about that. Leave it alone. We are not to fear death or to act as if it is no big deal. Just think of all the ways that Hollywood tries to tell us that, oh, nothing really changed after death. Those people are still around and they're helping and they're doing things. Or we have the silly poems that I often heard in my family about how we live on in the thoughts of others or in some pretty flowers that somebody can put on a wall. No, death is real and it must be faced. Now, on the other side, we are also to avoid the type of mourning that was common in the days of Jesus, what I would call putting on a show. They would actually hire professional mourners to wail and carry on so everyone would know that you were making great lamentations. Again, we weep with those who weep, but we are also those who know about the victory over death. Understanding that death will be with us until the end, we should next address the question of burial. Burial of the dead is the pattern that we see in the scriptures. We are living in an age where this focus has been largely lost. Gone are the family or even church gravesites. With all of our moves and travels in this country, it is difficult to even picture a family being buried together in any cemetery. More and more people are choosing cremation, with the ashes being scattered or done as was done with my father and brother. Now you can even go green, opting to have your body dissolved in an environmentally sensitive way. So as we think about all that, I have to stress that what happens to the body has nothing to do with what will happen at the end of time, when the trumpet sounds and the dead are raised, as we saw in our morning text. John clearly teaches us in Revelation chapter 20 that all will stand before Jesus in resurrected bodies, no matter where they died or how their bodies were disposed of. Listen to these words from John. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. and the books were open, and another book was open, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. As the writer of Hebrews proclaimed, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So thus we will all be called into the presence of God in resurrected bodies, no matter how we die or what was done with our body. So why does the Bible put a focus on burial and lamentation? I believe they are both related to understanding and facing the reality of death and Christ's victory. They bring us both wisdom and comfort. I'm going to commend to your further study, so that I don't preach all afternoon, the entire 23rd chapter of Genesis. There you're going to find an incredible amount of detail about how Abraham came to bury and lament over his wife Sarah. It takes up an entire chapter in God's revelation. Think about that. An entire chapter on the burial and lamentation over one woman. When those devout men came and buried Stephen with great lamentation, I am sure they had in mind what God had included in that book of beginnings with the burial of Sarah. They understood how burial and lamentation reminds us that death is our enemy, and that the resurrection of Jesus from the grave gives us great hope as we wait for the day of resurrection. This is what anyone can learn from this important chapter of Genesis, and I hope that you'll study it together. It is just what those faithful disciples did for Stephen. For example, in verse 2 of that chapter 23, we'd read, Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And then in verse 19, it says, after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave in the field of Machpelah before Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Even though we know that death has been defeated, we must not be afraid or hesitant to lament and mourn over our dead. One of the most powerful verses in all of the scriptures just happens to be the shortest verse in all of scriptures. And it brings great comfort to those who feel the loss of a loved one at the time of his death. Let me take you to John chapter 11, where we have the account of Jesus raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, has died, and Jesus waited to go in order to demonstrate his power over death. So we read it, verse 14. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, when Jesus arrives, he's met by Martha, the sister of Lazarus, and she grieves over the fact that Jesus was not there to heal her brother. But Jesus explains what he is about to do. He said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. There we clearly see the grand picture of creation, fall, and redemption. But Jesus came, in this case, to demonstrate his power. And in the midst of that demonstration, Jesus faces the reality of death and teaches us how and why we are to lament. At verse 33, we read, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? As they take Jesus to the grave, we see the humanity of Jesus. And with that shortest verse that I just mentioned. And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And verse 35 simply says, Jesus wept. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone had been laid against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. There's some powerful lessons there about sanctification that I'll save for another day. Lazarus was dead. He'd been buried 4 days. And yet Jesus knew that he would bring him back to life. That's why he went there, to demonstrate his power and the Father's power. But as Jesus stood before the grave, which contained the body of his friend, the Bible tells us in the strongest of terms, Jesus wept. Death is the last enemy to be defeated, because it is the greatest enemy which has brought pain and agony to the lives of those who have lived and to the creation itself. Jesus, as he stands in death's presence, is moved to tears. And quite honestly, we must do no less. There is no such thing as a good death. Death is always the enemy. Knowing and understanding this, we lament over the loss of the one who has died. And we bury their body as a symbol of hope for the resurrection. Just as Jesus called Lazarus to come forth, so at the end of time, Jesus will command all those who have died to come forth. The account in Genesis chapter 23 also tells us that Abraham went to a great length to purchase a burial place. And it gives us many, many of the details. Now, I don't want to put anyone on a guilt trip here this morning, but I remember that this passage was particularly convicting for me as I took that journey through the book of Genesis. And we should ask in our age, are we prepared for the day of our death or the death of those who are close to us? Again, ignoring it's not going to make it go away. How and where will we make such preparations? I think one of the lessons for us from that lengthy account in Genesis is that, well, we can certainly make all the arrangements that are necessary after someone has died, but it can also serve as a reminder that it might be wise to make such preparations beforehand. Now, certainly our age and our financial situations can impact how serious those preparations should be, but we must remember that death will find us all until the return of Jesus. The account in Acts simply tells us that devout men came and buried Stephen with great lamentation. It is a godly example, and we should strive to do the same. Brothers and sisters, this is part of our being witnesses for Jesus. We are those who know that the great enemy death has been defeated. We are those who can bury and lament over those we have lost. and yet know the hope of the victory that we have at the resurrection. We certainly have a better truth and testimony than anything Hollywood or the world can come up with. But it must be lived, and it must be demonstrated in our lives before a watching world, just as Abraham did for the men and women of Hebron, and those men in Jerusalem did, even in the midst of the terrible persecution at that time. We are to be those who rightly know the pain and agony of death, those who rightly lament the loss of our loved ones, and we are to be those who know the hope of the resurrection. Yesterday morning, Pastor Jim West went to be with the Lord at 10 o'clock. We are going to be lamenting his loss. There will be many, I'm sure, from around the country who come to lament and bury Pastor West. And that's the reality that we live with and the reality we have to deal with. And yet in the midst of that, probably from his hospital room in the final days with his family through the funeral and the gravesite service, Jim will still be witnessing the victory of Jesus Christ through those who serve him at that time. So in closing, I want to return to our text from 1 Corinthians, where Paul goes on to instruct us about the impact of the power of resurrection and the final defeat of death at the end of history. He doesn't just leave it in the theological realm, and it should be in our lives, as he writes. Picking up where we almost left off in our reading, death is swallowed up in victory. And then the apostle says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that hope and victory should then lead to our living new lives. Because in verse 58, the apostle says, therefore, because of all those truths, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Those are wise words for all of life, but certainly wise words when we face the time where we must bury and lament over a friend or a family member. In properly doing so, we will remember and proclaim that death will be swallowed up in victory. Amen.